Welcome to the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, the show that brings you tidbits from all aspects of the soccer world. Sometimes serious, sometimes zany, always opinionated. Now, here are your hosts, Chad Smith and Corey Chatelain.
This is the Two Daft Yanks Podcast, and this is our transfer deadline special, folks. Welcome to the show. As always, I am your host, Chad Smith, and I'm joined in the Polar Two Daft Yank Studios by Corey Chatelain.
How's everyone doing tonight? I think I'm going to do the whole show in the Neil Ashton voice. You know why, Chad? I'll tell you why. Thanks for asking. I like to speak in the Neil Ashton voice because you can say the most ridiculous things imaginable, but because they're said in a measured, drawn-out fashion, it makes it sound like you know what you're actually talking about. Instead of just talking out of your ass.
Well, there you go, folks. You can see what Corey thinks of Neil Ashton
and his
appearances so far on the NBC Sports Transfer Special. But this is the Two Daft Yanks Transfer Special, and we are going to get right to it. Without all the rubbish that you've been hearing and seeing on NBC.
Oh, then I'll be showing myself out the door. Have a good day.
Thank you, sir. Nice tie, by the way.
Yeah, get out of here. Speaking of Nick and the Living, anyway.
All right, well, the frenzy that is transfer deadline day has come and gone, so let's get going. We're going to run down most of the major deals from today and a few from yesterday, and we'll just kind of hit this in an orderly manner, Corey. But first, we do that, let's just talk about Sky Sports News and some of the shenanigans that people yes. may or may not have missed today. Now, both of us have yes. been watching Sky both Sports News most of the day, so... Please update the podcast listeners on what shenanigans they may have missed.
Oh, yeah. Well, obviously, the highlight of the day was, I believe it was Everton with, forgot the reporter's name, but whoever the reporter was got a blue dildo stuck in his ear, which was within an hour, the blue dildo, or the purple dildo, as somebody was calling it, had its own Twitter account. So, yeah, I mean, besides all the madness, that definitely made my day right there.
Mm-hmm. And I can't remember where, but a blow-up sex doll also made it onto the air. I forget at which ground.
You know, I missed that one, so that must have been when I went on my store run.
So Sky Sports is really, you know, getting some high-quality stuff on the television with, all the kids running out to the training grounds trying to get on TV. And there's another thing. It was a... Another thing that they didn't show but was widely reported on Twitter was some happenings at Crystal Palace.
Yes, which was, of course, Sky Sports isn't going to show it, but since it was right outside the ground and being a journalist, you know, or if journalists supposedly would do journalism anymore, there was apparently a big group of Palace fans that had a banner saying, Sky Sports News, ruining our game since 1992. Report on that!
Yes, so that is the whole against modern football movement taking center stage right there, but not center stage because obviously, as Corey just mentioned, Sky Sports News is not going to comment or show banners that are disparaging their network.
Right, especially when you would rather spend your time coming back from every commercial break apologizing for a blue dildo stuck in your reporter's ear.
Or, you know, people cursing and stuff. But, hey, yes. as we mentioned last year, if this could all come to an end very easily for Sky Sports if they chose to do so by, you know, getting access behind the gates of these grounds in the media rooms or wherever in a safe place. But as you mentioned to me in our pre-production meeting, Corey, is Sky Sports actually wants these things to happen because it's entertainment.
Yeah, they want that gonzo, you know, what's called gonzo. They want that gonzo moment where they catch Ari in the car and he, you know, they have the on-scene interview, and it's live, and it's you know, and it's raw, and it's happening now as you're living. You know, nothing can be more exciting than this moment. It's all Gonzo.
But sadly for them, they did not get the. At least I did not see it. I may have missed it. I was watching most of the day, but when they try to get Harry to do the, you know, handing out the car window interview, he drove right by him. Denied.
And then when they tried to get him out of the car, I think he half blew him off as he was walking in or something.
Okay, so I didn't see that. Wow.
Well, I didn't see it either, but I just saw a picture. Somebody was tweeting, you know, something to the effect of, it doesn't count if he's not in the car.
Okay.
So yeah, apparently they got him when he got out of the car, but, you know, he just gave him the cursory, got work to do, blah, 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 quick thing, you know?
Okay, so enough of that. No more talking about NBC. No more talking about Sky Sports. Let's talk about really the only opinions that matter, and that is those of you and I, right?
Yeah. No. Yeah, that's right. Snobs. Oh, no, it's not? Damn it. I was going to agree with you.
Okay. No. So let's get right into the transfer dealings, and we'll start with Manchester United because they have had an interesting day. Now, as I saw first reported late last night, and I texted it to you, and to which your response was, what? I said, Falcao's going to Manchester United.
Yeah, and that should have been I did type just what, but that should have been a Mrs. What's-Her-Face from South Park. What?
Yeah. So that is a loan move. It's a one-year loan with perhaps a view to a buy. We don't know the details yet because I'm not even sure as we record this if it's actually been officially announced. But everybody's reporting that it's going to happen, and I'd be shocked if it didn't at this point in time.
Yeah, I think the last official word is that he's passed his medical they being Man U asked the Premier League for an extension to sign the deal, and they just a few minutes ago asked for another extension, which was granted.
Okay, so but the framework of this deal is $6 million up front for the loan, and then paying his wages, which is up to what, $350,000 a week.
Yeah, I think the actual number was 346, but yeah, I've just been rounding it up to 350 because, you know, they probably would throw in the extra 4,000 at this point if you asked them. So,
okay, so let's just talk about this move from a player standpoint. What will he bring to the club, and does it do anything to actually address the problems that they've been having so far this season?
As usual, I'm going to cheat and kind of say yes and no. It addresses their problems in the sense that when you become, you know, a mega club or the big spending club like Man U, you know, when you don't get a string of results go your way, it's early in the season and the transfer window's still open, the fans are going to clamor for a big name signing, which they've done. So it suits their, and obviously he's scored goals wherever, you know, everywhere he's played. So he's going to bring goals. And with Van Persie carrying some knock right now, you know, you could argue that they did need some goals, even with Rooney being in the team, as they go to a they switch to a new system, or they get used to that new system they're running. It doesn't address their issues, however, in the sense that even though they signed a central defender in Rojo, they're probably, in my opinion, still weak at that central defense spot, because even though Jones and Smalling have at times in the past shown, you know, glimpses of pretty good potential, they've also shown fairly regularly, you know, those youthful lapses of concentrations, which most players go through, but at a club like Man U, you know, going into the season where they'll be playing most of their minutes, or most of the minutes in that central defense, is that going to be enough for the fans and the club to achieve, you know, the types of success that a club like Man U expects now?
Yeah, and that is a good question, and they've been very vulnerable in the back line. And so, yeah, they have Rojo, who they brought in. But the problem is if they get a single injury to any of the three starters, and they're basically to the point where they're going to have to play, you know, a youth player in that spot.
Yeah, which they kind of have in Tyler Blackett. But, yeah, and the thing about Rojo, there's a lot of scout reports that came out of Portugal that came out of Portugal recently that are actually saying that Rojo is a fairly overrated player. And, you know, these are from legitimate sources. This isn't just, you know, bitter fans or something. You know, these are guys who actually watch a lot of Portuguese league and Sporting and Porto and, you know, the top players in that league. And that, you know, a lot of the scouting reports on Rojo say that he's not ready for the level of Man U, and that he can be he's a bit overly aggressive when he plays, both in his actual play and in his temperament. So it'll be interesting to see, because, you know, there's a lot of questions in that back line, you know, going into the season, regardless of you know, bringing in the super uber mega goal scorer name.
Mm-hmm. So they weren't able to address that position more than Rojo. But they did today, in a very good value move, I guess, in today's market, and bringing in the versatile defender, a blend from Ajax, who could, you know, play left back, probably could play some center back if need be.
Yeah, I was going to say, in a three center back system, he could probably play one of the outside defensive, or one of the outside center halves, sorry.
But it looks to me, all reports, indications are that they're going to play him in midfield.
Yeah,
but he's
holder.
Versatile.
Yeah.
So we'll see what goes there. I think that's a good buy. He could play, you know, he could play on that left wing position too, or that left wing back position if they needed. He's done that for, you know, the Netherlands national team. But still, to me, that midfield at Manchester United is woefully undershortened. He's not really a creative player. He's more defensive. And so unless they could get Herrera to firing at all cylinders, I think they're going to struggle to create chances with the current team that they do have.
Yeah, because Blend is another one of those, like you said, he's probably being brought in to play that kind of holding role. And as much as people complain about Arteta and Arsenal playing a holding role there, Blend is more in that newer style of holding role where you're not actually, you know, you're not this midfield destroyer like Vinnie Jones or Roy Keane or Paul Scholes in their day, although Scholes wasn't technically a defensive midfielder, but you get the point that, I mean, he can tackle, he can tackle, but he's more of the newer style of defensive midfielder, to where he's the holder in the sense that he's basically going to be your deepest midfielder, receiving that first pass out of defense, and that he's not really, not saying that he can't break up plays, but like I said, he's not the your old style anchorman defensive midfielder holding type that's gonna, you know, clean up people with tackles and, you know, be a Roy Keane and you know let people know he's there kind of thing. He's, like I said, he's much more of the newer style of holder.
Yes, so that'll take some monitoring to see how they use him and how he does in his adjustment from Dutch football to English football.
Yeah, because he's definitely played both holding midfield and left back at Ajax, and, you know, as both of us are always saying, you know, that's one good thing about Ajax players is, you know, they have natural positions, but it's rare that a player coming from Ajax that makes it into their first team plays less than two or three positions. I mean, they're usually very versatile and can play, you know, three, four, five positions sometimes without too much of a drop off in play.
Yes. Now, a lot of the other moves in this transfer deadline day and, you know, just the past couple days do revolve around Manchester United. So let's talk about some of their outs that are interesting. And let's move on to one that happened yesterday, and that is one of Shinji Kagawa.
The playmaker!
The Playmaker, yes, the evil Kagawa, and an undisclosed fee is going back to the club where it all started for him in Europe anyway, and that is Dortmund.
Yeah, that's obviously a good move for him because, you know, as you were saying before he came on the air, he never truly got an honest, well, I don't know if honest is the right word, but he never got a chance in the long term. You know, he never got a long run in that side. And a few times he did get, you know, more than 4 or 5 matches in that Man U side, he did pretty well. I mean, it was 2 or 3 years ago where he had, I forgot the numbers offhand, but it was like 7 or 8 goals and about 17 appearances, you know, which for an attacking midfielder is a pretty good goal return. So, you know, again, that it was always a curious move by Man United why he never played more. And I know when he did play in the last year and a half, a lot of times he was stuck out on the left wing, which even though it's not his natural position or his favorite position, you know, it's kind of the same thing that everybody at Arsenal is complaining about with Ozil played on the wing the last few. You know, you figure a guy like Kagawa and those skillful types and those intelligent players like that that they should be able to adapt. But obviously, going back to his old club, you know, he's probably going to flourish, and you know, I'm sure it's going to make for some choice tweets during the season because, as Evil Kagawa said over the weekend, that if Van Hall thinks he's going to stop tweeting just because he got sold, he's sorely mistaken. So,
yes, I saw that.
Yes, so
we'll see. So, no, I agree with you, Kagawa. Going back to a club that he's comfortable in, he's proven himself there, and a league that we know he could produce, I think that's a great move for Dortmund. And the thing is, we just don't know the price, which is interesting. But I'd imagine they got pretty good value for that buy, would be my guess.
Yeah, and especially, or just on the Dortmund thing real quick, especially when they're, you know, when they're constantly losing players to the bigger clubs in Germany like Munich, you know, it's a ready-made situation for him to come back in and slot right back in and basically pick up where he left off, you know, 3 years ago. So, you know, it's definitely a good move for both him and Dortmund.
All right, another attacking player leaving Manchester United is Javier Hernandez, a.k.a. Chicharito, who we here in the United States hate, but we shouldn't because he has never scored against us in international play because he sucks. Anyway, so he goes from Manchester United to Real Madrid on loan, and this is kind of a curious move because, and I've heard other people say this, so it's not my idea, but I agree with it, is now, he's not going to get a lot of playing time there, and he may because, you know, Real is going to be involved in a number of cups, so he'll get some playing time. But in that striker role, he cannot create on his own. He relies on service from others, but the problem was at a club at Real with now James, Ronaldo, and Bale, those players are all goal scorers, and they're not going to look to really feed him the ball in most situations.
Yeah. Yeah, and Benzema.
And Benzema as well. Yeah, he's a flat-out goal scorer. And that's why he's kind of struggled, because he's not the guy. You know, Ronaldo's always been the guy. Bale has taken someone over, had a very solid first season there. But, so yeah, but I guess, you know, people, and this is something we'll get into here in a little bit, but I guess the draw of a big club like that you know is going to make it, you know, high up the table and deep into international tournaments or continental tournaments is enough to draw players in.
Yeah. And if you want to go to a, you know, kind of a down a slightly conspiratorial road, that may be kind of a make weight for backing off of Falcao to allow Man U to sign him on loan. You know, since there were the rumors that Madrid were looking into Falcao. So, again, if you want to be conspiratorial, you can even say, hey, we'll, you know, Man U might have said, we'll take Falcao on loan, we'll give you Hernandez, and, you know, after the year, depending on what happens, you know, maybe we won't re-sign, or maybe we won't sign Falcao permanently, and that'll allow you being Madrid, to come in and sign him. So, who knows?
That would make sense, because, you know, Real certainly makes their, you know, their big, you know, 70, 80 million buy in the summer once a year, and right. They've already done that. So you're right. So maybe Falcao is the guy next summer. So they say, hey, we'll take Falcao for a year. We'll give you Hernandez to play, and then we'll just swap back when the year's over.
Yeah, and again, that's purely speculation on my point. But like I said, I think you could definitely make a pretty good circumstantial case on, you know, on the evidence that's happened in the last week or so.
Well, as we stand here, I would give that a 70 to 80% chance of actually happening. That makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, unless you got those that whoever that group is that keeps passing themselves off as Man U reps in Spain, you know, unless they somehow got involved in this again and tricked Madrid into thinking Hernandez was Falcao or something.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
You know, pull the old switcheroo.
All right. Another possible Manchester United out, and we're pretty sure this is going to happen, no confirmation yet, is that of Danny Welbeck going to – well, actually, we don't know. I've heard that it was going to be a loan, but now I've heard that Manchester United is only going to sell. They only want a permanent move.
Yes.
So what are you hearing?
You know, it's a permanent deal. Permanent deal, $16 million, which of course a lot of my Arsenal brethren are going bonkers because, you know, Balotelli was available for 12 to 14 million, and Remy was quoted anywhere from 8 to 14 million, depending on where you read. So to get Welbeck, who hasn't scored on rates as either of those two, of course people are kind of freaking out, and especially coming from a Man U, you know, a lot of players or a lot of people really like that, despite, you know, us selling RVP to him a few years ago. Yeah, curiously, and this is what I've been confused at all day long, is his stats aren't that great. Granted, he's got 20 in 90 appearances for Man U, and I know a lot of those, or, you know, a good bit of those appearances were substitution appearances. His main point is his stats aren't that great, but there's a lot of Manchester fans that are pretty annoyed that he's leaving. So I've been confused over this move all day long, because it's again, he's one of those that has a lot of natural talent, but he's never really put it together in a season. So I'm not really sure what to think of this move. And as I told you before we came on the air, when I found out he was 6'2", because I didn't realize he was that big, I'm a little more on board than I was before, because when we first were rumored to be signing him, I was pretty underwhelmed. But, you know, if we're going to get him, I'm not the kind of person that's going to slag off a player that's playing for us, you know, except Manuel Almunia, and he's gone. So, you know, ask me again next year.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. It's interesting, and so I guess for the time being, he'll go into that striker rotation in place of Olivier Giroud, who is out anywhere from 3 to 5 months with a broken foot or ankle, whatever it is. I guess it's not really clear what that is.
Yeah, it was a fracture, high ankle fracture or something.
But he's not expected to play again in this calendar year. And so he could be back as early as January, but who knows, really. So Welbeck will be in the fold, so we'll see how he gets on at Arsenal if he's given a chance to play. All right, so that's going to wrap up the Manchester United-related talk, and let's get into something which is pretty interesting here, and that is the move of the French international striker Loic Remy from QPR to Chelsea for $10 million. And the funniest thing I saw in this, Corey, was, he was supposedly going to Liverpool, but failed a medical. And, you know, there were rumors that he it was because of drug use in his system. Or he does have a known heart issue. He's failed a medical before in France at a French club for the heart issue. And so someone yesterday tweeted, it was pretty funny, he was like, well, Loic Remy having a heart issue is not a problem for a club at Chelsea because they don't have a heart.
Boom!
Oh, yeah, sorry, that's, Chelsea fans.
Yeah, sounds scientific to me.
That's real. Hashtag fact.
That's right. Hashtag real talk, even.
Yes. So let's talk about this concept of Remy going there. Now, I don't understand why these players who, you know, they're on good wages, they're playing for different clubs, they get a play, they score goals. What is the allure of Chelsea? Because obviously there, he's third or fourth choice at striker at this point in time. Why would you be happy to sit on the bench there when you could go somewhere else where he was linked to lots of clubs, where he could have gone and been, you know, a nailed-on regular first-team player?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is the question throughout history and not just football. You know, it's people do a lot of stupid stuff for 20 pieces of silver, you know? Yeah, because as I've been telling you all week that, you know, if Chelsea signs Remy, this definitely reeks as a complete spite move, you know, kind of like now, granted, he's used Fabregas, but, you know, I was convinced when Mourinho signed Fabregas, having all those other creative midfield players, that it just reeked more of a spite move and just kind of rubbing it in our faces, knowing that, you know, a lot of people would freak out when Wenger turned down Cesc, that, you know, if a bitter rival and a bitter man like Mourinho signs him, you know, he knew it would cause a lot of consternation. So I think it's kind of a lot of the same thing goes into the Remy move, or at least from his point of view. Now, from Remy's point of view, you know, like I said before, there's just when you start getting paid more money, a lot of people do stupid stuff for a lot of money. And not that this is, you know, stupid, you know, in the sense like, you know, robbing a bank or you know, selling drugs, that kind of stupid things for money. But, yeah, I don't think he's going to play that much, you know, if Costa stays healthy. And it definitely confuses me why somebody like Mourinho would go after Remy and sell Lukaku. Because it's – I don't know. It's just when you – that's the thing that baffles me, and why I personally don't want to – you know, regardless of how many titles Man U and Chelsea and Real Madrid and Barcelona and the likes of those guys win trophies, I don't – there's part of me that doesn't want to become a mega club – or that doesn't want Arsenal to become a mega club, is because you start selling good players and you start buying these players that you don't need just to give the illusion that you're doing something, or to kind of, you know, park a guy on a bench just in case somebody else might want him, but you know you have enough money so you can sign him and take him away from him. So I don't know. It's just I know I've kind of rambled, but again, this Remy move definitely reeks of a spite move rather than some need that Mourinho supposedly has.
Mm-hmm. And from a player side, I could see where you're going to a club like Chelsea. You obviously, you know, have done a lot to prove that you have talent and that you're ambitious. And I think a lot of ego comes into place to where you think that, okay, sure, they may have two or other three, you know, top, you know, worldwide talents on that squad, but you think so much of yourself that you think that, well, the manager may not fancy me now, and they may be, you know, the pet favorites, a favorite player, Mourinho's, but I'm going to go in there and force my way in.
Yeah, because that's the same thing that happens to a lot of recruits in, like, college football, to where, you know, they're stacked at a position and a guy goes in because he just, like you said, he just thinks, well, they're not as good as me, or I'm going to walk right in, or I'm going to change that fact. So, yeah, I mean, I could definitely see, and especially being a, you know, a fairly top-level player, I mean, I wouldn't call Remy world-class, but, you know, he's definitely, you know, whatever you would call it, under that. He's definitely a very good player, versatile, can play out wide and through the middle. I could definitely see him being confident or arrogant, whatever you want to call that, to where he would feel, regardless of who's there, he might be able to force himself into the lineup. But again, it's like I said, to me, it just reeks more of the kind of a move a mega club makes, just to kind of, it's more of a soap opera move to make a statement or to take it away from somebody than to actually buy somebody for some need that they might have.
Exactly. All right, now I skipped this in our running order, so we'll backtrack and we'll do this, and this isn't a big deal. Probably shouldn't have even mentioned it. So don't worry, folks. Things here are going flawlessly.
Yes.
Not a flaw in sight, but let's talk about an under-the-radar kind of move from today, and let's just remember that our predictions so far for this year, we did, under-the-radar for the summer in a whole before the season. Mm-hmm. And one of the players that we both picked high on our list was that of Gylfi Sigurðsson at Swansea. Mm-hmm. And he has played like he never left there with, I do believe, 1 goal and 4 assists in 3 games.
Yeah, he's definitely been doing very well at Swansea.
So I'm just saying that to tell you that despite our name of being daft, we actually do know what we're talking about. So listen up.
Yes, but You're the new breed who relies too much on statistical analysis and not looking at a player's pedigree of a club where he comes from and listening to journalists who don't really know anything.
Be quiet, Neil. All right, Corey, give me your under-the-radar transfer from this transfer deadline day.
All right, going once again, I'm going to pick a former Ajax player because I'm like Wenger. I like the versatility. Toby Alderweireld. Try that again. Toby Alderweireld from Atletico Madrid to Southampton.
Okay, please explain.
Well, as we were kind of alluding to earlier, like most players who come up through the Ajax system, even though he's a central defender, he's kind of like he was Jan Vertonghen's defensive partner for several years when he was at Ajax, and like Vertonghen, he's fairly athletic for a central defender. He's got decent ball skills. He's very good at set pieces. He can definitely put a pass together, unlike a lot of English center backs still can't do these days. And even though he's played vast majority of his career in central defense, he can probably play in deep midfield if you need to, and even play, a very defensive right back if need be. Obviously he's gonna come in and play central defense for Coleman. So again, like your typical Ajax player, I like him because he's versatile, and he's not just a tackling central defender that's just gonna hoof it forward. He's actually got a little bit of ball technique, and isn't just some physical mug back there, in there to make tackles. So,
all right. So there you go. So be on the lookout for the Belgian international.
Yes.
Going to Southampton, to where he'll fit right in to that style of play, no doubt, and kind of be the replacement for Lovren after they sold him to Liverpool.
And he did so in Spain, I would argue that he's as good, if not possibly better than Lovren, at least on potential and technique ability. Just like I said, because he can pass fairly well. So anyway.
Okay, my move for the under-the-radar transfer deal of the day is a loan move, and that is one of Ricardo Alvarez from Inter Milan to Sunderland.
Oh, yeah.
This is quite the coup for them. Now, I don't know how this is going to change how they play, because Alvarez is an attacking midfielder. He's best played in the hole.
Yes.
Behind the striker. He could play a little deeper. And I think he could even play on the left wing if need be. But I do believe that he will find playing at Sunderland in the Premier League a lot better than his time in Italy. Playing in a less, you know, defensive league, a league that's a little more high-paced, he's going to be able to show his skill that he has. And he put up some pretty decent numbers for being in Italy. Let's see, in the 12-13 season, he had 5 goals and 3 assists for Inter Milan. And this last season, he had 4 goals and 8 assists. So it's just a matter of how quickly he gets thrown into the fray and where they use him. But he's a very skilled all-around player. And I do believe that he will do well at Sunderland. And, you know, this could be bad news for Jozy Altidore, really, because he's really a secondary striker. And heck, who knows? Maybe he might end up being a good partnership. Him and Altidore might work well together, you know, with Altidore being like that deep-lying forward slash target man with that attacking forward who could get in the box. So who knows?
Yeah, because I was going to say Alvarez is one of those kind of, from what I remember, the scouting reports, because if I remember correct, he was linked with us for a while, and I think he was also linked with y'all at one point, if I remember correctly. But yeah, Alvarez is one of those kind of guys that not quite a traditional number 10, but not quite an actual striker. So he's kind of like a 10 and a half, you know, for the lack of an actual term. But he could, like you said, he could probably play both. And yeah, it will be interesting to see where, geez, help me out. Name just Sunderland's manager. Name just jumped out of my head.
Poyet.
Yeah, Poyet. Thank you. It'll be interesting to see where Poyet plays him, because especially if he keeps, he'll keep him now because the window's closed. But you know, to play him with Jacquarini, who's probably going to play out wide. So yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see, like you said, or like you alluded to, that if it means a system change, or if he's going to be more of a rotational type of player to maybe change the game coming off the bench initially, and then, you know, start later on as he eases into it, or what? Because if I remember correctly, part of the reason why we backed off on him was that he may be a little light. So it might be a case of like Alberto Aquilani's time at Liverpool, who, despite having, you know, a really good skill because of his small frame, he was always injured and didn't get a lot of playing time. So again, I mean, that, you know, that last part's speculation, obviously, because, you know, he hasn't really done anything yet. We'll have to wait to see how it plays out. But yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see how Poyet fits him into that team.
Well, there you go. Just like the guy that you made fun of in the intro and several times throughout, you're stirring the muck just like Neil Ashton. Just making shit up.
I didn't make it up.
What do you mean you didn't make it up?
What did I make up?
You said, well, this might be, you know, stretching the truth. I don't know. What did you exactly say about him there?
This may be speculation.
Speculation, yes. Is not Neil Ashton the king of speculation?
But Neil Ashton willingly writes articles about people that aren't true. Speculating is not lying. So, but hey, if you want to lob that charge and, you know, be somebody like on Twitter, go ahead.
I will. You suck. Okay. All right. 5. This is our next subject here, and this is going to be that of the grand old club, which isn't so grand, of QPR, the Queen's Park Rangers, and old Airy, and his transfer deadline dealings, the wheeler dealer that he is, but he's not a wheeler dealer, remember. QPR today tried to land Jermaine Defoe. Some of you people new to MLS may have heard of him. He plays for Toronto, Toronto sacked their manager this weekend after he slagged off the front office to the press. And now the rumor is all the players want to leave. Defoe was ready to go back to the Premier League, but because of the complicated MLS contract, in quotes, he was not able to secure a move to the Premier League. And reports are that there were four or five teams interested in his services. So MLS strikes again. The experiment at Toronto seems to be dead. And so I would expect Defoe to be off in the summer, if not in January. And so there. So QPR, try to get Defoe. But Harry did get two other former players. So, you know, when Harry needs players, he just, you know, goes to somebody who he had before.
Yep.
And one of those players would be Nico Kranjčar, who he's had at Spurs and at Portsmouth. And he had him last year on loan at the end of the season at QPR as they were in the championship. And now he's back up in the Prem with him, Nico Kranjčar, on loan from Dynamo Kiev.
Yeah, and I think Nico was one of his assistant counsels on his court case too, if I remember correctly.
Maybe.
And he likes some Kranjčar. Yeah, he likes him some Nico.
And then the other move they made was a move for a former player he had at Spurs, which is Sandro, a $6 million pound move, which I find funny because when Sandro first came to Spurs, Harry didn't play him for like the first 3 or 4 months. But now he fancies him. Oh, that Sandro's so good, even though when he first came, I didn't play him. You know, yeah. I played like Scott Parker instead.
Yeah.
But hey, that Sandro's really good.
Which I'm a bit baffled, and maybe he did, it just wasn't reported. But I'm surprised he didn't put in a bid for old Crouchy, too.
Oh, maybe he did. But it must be noted that Sandro is coming off a major knee injury, and at the end of last year when he came back, he just didn't have the pace for a guy his size that you need to have to be able to play the style that he does, you know? Mm-hmm. Aggressive, you know. He is your old-school defensive midfielder, but with a little more skill. He could go forward a little bit, but, you know, he's that hard-tackling bone cruncher. And when that hard-tackling bone cruncher, who isn't very fast to begin with, loses a step, that's when you see big-time problems.
Yeah, he's a Brazilian anchor. Yeah, he can put in some crunching tackles, but he can actually pass a bit.
Yeah, so we'll see how he gets on there. So I know a lot of people are devastated that he's left Spurs, but just listen, if you're a Spurs fan like me, just answer this question. If Sandro was half as good or in the shape that you think he is, certainly a better club for QPR would have been in for him at £6 million. Is that not true?
Yeah, because I was definitely surprised that he went to QPR.
All right. So there we go. We're shocked. So, Harry, that was his dealings for the day, including, as we mentioned earlier, one blown-off car door interview with Sky Sports News.
Yeah, oh, Larry. I don't know. I guess I shouldn't mock Harry too much because in Harry's world, I'm probably worth about $1.5 million, so.
That's true. You're terrific.
Yes. I mean, I'll get stuck in. I mean, I'll get tired after about 7 minutes, but, you know, I'll give you a tackle.
All right, let's wrap up these transfer deadline special, folks, talking about the dealings at Hull City. And this is kind of a side, but have you seen, you know, we make fun of old Steve Bruce calling him Fat Leno. Well, for whatever reason, I saw some pictures of him. He was somewhere at some comedy thing. Mm-hmm. Well, I think we need to start calling Leno Fat Steve Bruce because he's way big now. He's ballooned up. Now that he's not on TV anymore, I think he's been spending all his time at buffets. So I think we could just start calling Steve Bruce instead of Fat Leno. I think we could call him Steve Bruce from now on, and we'll call Jay Leno Fat Steve Bruce.
Okay, well, we'll just switch it to Buffet Bruce.
Yeah, Buffet Bruce. That works. All right, so Hull City, they've done some really interesting business today, really strengthening their team. First bringing in the striker out of Italy from Palermo. That would be Abel Hernandez, who's actually Uruguayan, for $10 million. Then another attacking player, I think. I'm getting mixed up in my head. Gaston Ramirez from Southampton.
Yes, more of an attacking.
Striker.
Yeah, way more of the attacking midfielder, wide player, striker, you know, that modern attacker where you don't really mm-hmm. have a set position.
And then from West Ham, they got the defensive midfielder Diame for an undisclosed fee, which is kind of surprising there that Big Sam would let somebody like that go who, you know, is perfect for a system. So maybe that shows that West Ham are trying to play better football.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised at that because, I mean, Diame is not that great, but like you said, he's definitely the physical specimen that, you know, that can move around a pretty good bit that like you said, that fits Sam's style pretty well. So it's definitely odd that he let him go.
Excuse me. Yeah, so Hull City adds a little, you know, steel in the midfield and a couple attacking players, which will give them some more options. And that's the problem they've had is scoring goals, of course. So we'll see if those moves today can help them score some goals to keep them in the Premier League for the second year running.
Yeah, because they also sold George Boyd to Burnley, which, oh, if George Boyd was available, what is Wenger thinking? Why is he roughing a charity match in Rome? He should have bought George Boyd. Completely kidding, by the way.
Okay. And you know what? I had this on our list, but I don't know if this went through, so we'll talk about it now.
Sure.
Now, this is for U.S. men's national team purposes.
Uh-oh.
But I think this went through. You could correct me if I'm wrong. But all reports are indicated that Julian Green, U.S. men's national team superstar, youngest American to ever score in the World Cup, has made a loan move from Bayern Munich to Hamburg.
Correct.
Yes. So what do you think about that move, and how much do you think Klinsmann played into that role, knowing that, you know, Klinsmann may or may not be the most popular person within the back room at Bayern Munich these days?
Well, I think he had at least a little bit of hand in it because, you know, despite Green still being pretty young, you know, he is at that age, regardless of MLS reporters talking about 24 and, or, you know, that goofy age. Green's at an age where he definitely needs to start getting first team opportunities, and at a club like Bayern, regardless of how well you do in the reserves or in the youth team, you know, to break into that first team as a teenager or a 21 year old, you know, you're obviously going to have to be one of the best striking prospects on the planet, which for all his talent, Julian Green just isn't. So I think maybe not so much in the sense Klinsmann through Bayern, but, you know, Klinsmann through Green. And maybe Green's agent probably had something, you know, to do with that too, that, you know, to get yourself a loan move and to get yourself more playing time, you know, because 15-minute, you know, even though that's what he did at the World Cup, 15-minute sub-appearances at your age isn't going to cut it at club level.
No, correct. He needs to be playing. So hopefully he can work his way into the first team in Hamburg, but that's not going to be an easy thing either.
No, because Hamburg's a fairly big club too. You know, I mean, they don't have regular success, but they're definitely one of those clubs in Germany that, you know, kind of comes in cycles every 5 or 6 years, you know, with decent teams. But yeah, so just from a historical standpoint, it's a good club to be at. But like you said, but meaning that, you know, towards your point, that they are going to have good players and that it's not going to be – he's not going to walk straight into the first team, like you said. So, but again, I think it is an overall a good move because, you know, club, good talent. If he is playing regularly, then that, you know, should be a sign of, you know, forward progress.
Yes, and that's what we need in these critical stages in his development. So, that is going to wrap up our transfer deadline special. And we hope you enjoyed it. It was not as crazy of a day as I thought it was going to be, but still a lot of business got done.
Yeah, it's kind of the moves have kind of slowed down a little. Personally, I've grown to dislike transfer deadline day because of all the bickering between fan bases or within fan bases. And I just enjoy transfer deadline day for moments like the blue dildo. So, spend some money on a blue dildo. Sign him up. Or she.
Yes. Maybe someone will put a bid in for that.
Well, yeah, he's already got a Twitter account. You know, it's just the next step is he or she just needs an agent. So,
so all right. So, of course, we got a revamped U.S. men's national team side. We'll be kicking off the new cycle in Europe against the Czech Republic on Wednesday.
Revamped side except for the send-off, or is the send-off going to be later?
What send-off?
The Landy Cake send-off.
The Landy Cake send-off is later, yes.
Okay.
Landon is not on this roster. This is a one-game deal. And then...
All right, then I'll pipe down.
Then I'm trying to remember... Is there no Premier League this weekend, right? Is this a week off or no?
Yeah. Yes, correct. It's jokingly referred to as the interlull.
Yeah, so it's the first international break, which robs us. So now I find it odd because the U.S. is only playing one match, you know, so we have the option to play two, but we're only playing that one. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there, and we will be back next week to talk about that. And there is a good chance that we will be joined by Joe Gould, the 12th Yank. We are in conversations with him to bring him back to talk about some of these younger players that we're going to have just seen in Europe.
Yeah, which remind me to, and I'll make a note when we get off air, I got to ask him about the guy, some guy Swansea just sold, apparently has American eligibility.
Okay.
Christian Scott.
Cool. So, all right, folks. This has been the Transfer Deadline Special of the 2Daft Yanks podcast. We thank you for listening. Please check out the website, 2daftyanks.com, and hit us up on the Twitter at 2daftyanks.
Yes, sir. Can somebody point me towards the tea lady, please?
All right. Be quiet, Neil. Okay, so for Corey Chatelain, I am Chad Smith. We will see you next time.
This has been the 2Daft Yanks podcast. If you like the show, be sure to find the Yanks at 2daftyanks.com or at 2daftyanks on Twitter. There, you can stay up to date on all the 2Daft Yanks action by subscribing to the show.